Welcome to the Professional Website Investors Podcast, the show where we talk about what it takes to successfully buy, operate, scale, and sell a thriving e-commerce business. When it comes to doing business online, we believe that buying an existing website is far superior to building one from scratch. So, if you're a career professional who is looking to become an e-commerce store owner, listening to this show will give you the knowledge, tools, and community support you need to be successful. We've got another great episode for you today, so without further ado, let's get into today's discussion, and I'll be back on the other side to tie up any loose ends.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined by Ian Bond from ProfessionalWebsiteInvestors.com. In this episode of the Professional Website Investor Podcast, Ian and I discuss ways to scale your business by bringing outsourced workers onto your team. If running a business is part of the plan for funding your retirement, you should consider outsourcing some of the tasks to remote workers. An increasing supply of remote talent, combined with advances in technology, have made outsourcing easier than ever. In addition to freeing up more of your time, outsourcing connects you with talented experts who can make improvements to your business and help it grow beyond the amount of time you can devote to its needs. Today we're talking about what it takes to make this happen. This includes finding and hiring the right workers, sometimes called virtual assistants or VAs for short. This also includes the systems you will want to have in place to set you and your workers up for success. On today's episode, you'll hear when it's time to consider scaling beyond yourself, which is right away. You'll also hear about what virtual assistants are and what they do. These can be outsource experts who contribute content or staff who help run the company on a day-to-day basis. Ian and I talk about the systems you should have in place for your virtual workers. This includes archiving a clear set of systems in one place as a reference and requiring everyone to go through them thoroughly. And finally, you'll hear about the best practices for finding and hiring the right people. Which website should you be looking at and what should you look for in your new hires? There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Ian Bond. All right, Ian, how you doing? It's been a few weeks. How's life?
Ryan, it's wonderful. We're closing out 2018 when this is recorded. It always takes time for these things to get published.
Yeah.
But, tis the season. It's wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, holiday season was good. And It's exciting to start talking about what's coming up in the new year. So
I was just going to say 2000 and you know, I always love the fall because it's the run up to the end of the year, which is my favorite time because it makes me, I think, to be better prepared for the beginning of the following year. So it's just something I've been doing for a long time. So that's why I like that, you know, that, and if you're really well prepared, you can enjoy the holidays and get the rest and relaxation and all that. So, you know, it just makes sense to end with a flourish.
For sure. Yeah. Well, as we look forward to the new year, a lot of people are thinking about growth and what's the best way to grow. And something that you talk a lot about is scaling beyond yourself. You know, the goal is to grow beyond what you have time to do. You know, you only have so many hours in a day. So at some point, you got to scale up. So let's start at the beginning. When should people start thinking about scaling beyond what they can do?
I think, Ryan, that I would stick my neck so far out as to say that if you are listening to this and you're in your car, you're on a treadmill, you're in your bed, wherever you are, if you cannot think of an idea that you know where you could utilize either outside expertise or subject matter expertise or additional help from other people, then you're probably not cut out for entrepreneurship. I mean, there are a billion ways to use the global outsourced workforce today. And they're exciting. So honestly, I think it's at the point of conception and should be part of your planning from the beginning. Okay. And we'll unpack that as we go.
Okay. And so that's not even that's not even a time consideration. That's just purely an expertise thing, right? That's kind of what you're getting at.
Well, I think it goes to the heart of entrepreneurship and the era that we live in here. You know, people are available, you know, post the introduction of the iPhone, everyone's walking around with the internet in their pocket and the sum total of human knowledge. And you're able to access people that are incredibly talented all over the globe. You know, in the past, you know, you could access people within a 20 or 30 mile radius of wherever you were. That's it. Mm-hmm. The world has changed. And if you're not doing that, and I did this before I was, you know, doing stuff online. I did this in, you know, prior, you know, incarnation of things I did. I started to kind of dabble in using outsourced workers, and I would prepare stuff, send it to India, and have it, you know, perfectly put together when I came in, you know, when I awakened in the morning. Hmm. And so, you know, I kind of beta tested it. And I would suggest to people to think of things that they could do like that just to get comfortable with the notion. But, you know, I think this is the era that we live in, and you're, you know, underutilizing all of the resources out there. I mean, look, everyone listening to this presumably is a career professional, you know, has, you know, worked a traditional job at some point in their life. And if you're going into, you know, some kind of a building every day, the leverage you have on yourself, going back to kind of the Robert Kiyosaki framework, you know, is measured by, you know, kind of your leverage is, you know, kind of what is it that you control? And if you have a team of 10 working on you, you now have a leverage factor of 10. If you have 10 in Kiyosaki's, in his interest, 10 real estate properties, that's another 10. And you know, you, in order for you to harness what is available today, you have to figure out how to get leverage. And the easiest way to get leverage on your time is to employ experts to help you in whatever endeavor it is you decide to pursue.
Okay, great. So just to give some people some ideas, what are some things that you might outsource? Just to
It depends what you're going to do.
Okay.
I just mentioned I did presentations, strategy presentations, and things that client presentations that were general. And, you know, quite frankly, I had a team that I used in India originally that was really quite good and quite high level and didn't, you know, I sent them on a project by project basis. Mm. I sent them, stuff to put together. And, you know, after, few iterations, I could take a look at what they did and tweak it and send it back, and it worked quite well. And you know, doing this, you know, as a sole practitioner, it's highly beneficial to do that. Now, in our e-commerce activities, or even in with regards to the blog, the opportunity is to look at what the activity chain is that you're operating in, and figure out where you could use, what I would generally break down into outsourced experts and, you know, kind of outsourced staff. Mm-hmm. And depending on what you're doing, you can use both experts, multiple experts. And, you know, then there's staff that we literally treat like our full-time workforce. And, we are meaningful as we are their full-time employers. We're meaningful to them, and they're really meaningful to us. Mm-hmm. They allow us to operate. As you know, mm-hmm. we're 9 time zones ahead of the East Coast. And the business must run with them running the business while we sleep.
Hmm. Okay, great. So, well, one of the buzzwords when it comes to outsourcing is virtual assistants or VAs.
Yes.
Could you kind of give us an introduction to what are virtual assistants?
Yeah, okay. So virtual assistants means, and it doesn't have to be someone in the Philippines or India. It could be virtually in the town next door. I guess it means that they're just not in the same place that you are, And there's a school of thought, and I won't, you know, I won't criticize this, or I won't disagree with it, that says if someone comes into your place of business and you provide them with, in the United States, you know, all of the trimmings of what employees get, you will get more allegiance and you will get people thinking about you 24/7. I would tell you that I believe that based on the experience that we have and the, you know, kind of our history of hiring the top decile of people available, that we get, you know, excellent people. And I don't think we suffer from any kind of lack of allegiance or lack of creativity in terms of people investing in our future, you know, although they're not sitting in the room next to us or in the desk outside in the hall or something like that.
Okay, great. Because I think what some people, when they hear virtual assistant, they just picture someone answering emails for them. You know, and I think people have a really narrow definition of what a virtual assistant is. What's your idea of a virtual assistant? What kind of work do they do?
Well, the virtual assistant can do anything. You know, they can and will do anything that you hire them for. And I think whether it is a virtual assistant, and you know, businesses that I manage now have 100 people in them. The people know what they do and what their responsibilities are when they come in. And that's the same, you know, a lot of those people are virtual to me in my day job. But, you know, they come in knowing what they have to do. We have a very elaborate system of processes and procedures, standard operating procedures. They are all archived using Suite Process, which is software dedicated to training, and filed under the relevant topics that they cover that people use that they can refer to. But everyone knows exactly what they're supposed to do, and they know how to do it. And if they can't remember, they have these resources available for them to go back and check. And when we hire someone new, right now, those people, and we haven't done this in a while, but those people are now, they were spending a week in our procedures, in Suite Process, going through what each of the different activities that they would have to perform in their job for us and exactly how we like it performed. And we update these things all the time. So let me give you a good example. We employ an accounting software called Xero and our cloud-based accounting system. Mm-hmm. And when we send a purchase order to one of our suppliers, Xero captures all of the relevant details, everything from the name of the customer and the SKU that we're ordering. And we just tweaked the process. And we just this last week alerted everyone. There's one more step of the process now. Mm-hmm. We're now going to be capturing tracking numbers and the shipping quotes for tracking, so that it makes it easier for us to reconcile things when we, you know, kind of get stuff back from the bank. And, you know, that's a change.
Right.
And just to take this one step further, you know, we're a logistics business in a lot of ways. We're getting things from one place to another place. Hmm. And, you know, anytime that you can break down someone's job into something that's understandable, where they know exactly what's required of them, your ability to manage that process and to succeed is so much higher. It's, you know, think about it being on the other end of that. If you don't kind of know what the requirements are, you can't succeed. So, you know, we write templates for emails that our people use. Everything is scripted as far down as possibly can be scripted, And it's the backbone of what we do, to be honest with you. And so, the word virtual is, it's someone, I guess, you can't see. So it could be somebody in another building. I have people in another other building from where my building. Also have people in different time zones. Okay. our business is open 24 hours a day. And, just based on the time zones of where the people are that we employ. And, it's fairly amazing to me because 3 years ago, I never would have imagined that.
Right. Right. Well, it sounds like you have a really organized system. Would you say that you tried to put all these systems in place before you started hiring virtual assistants?
So actually we failed at our first virtual assistant, right? Okay. We had two stores, and this was 2015, and we had two stores, and we hired a woman, girl, in 2015, and she started coming up to speed on a really, really a simple set of processes. And when we added the second store, which was easily doable for someone that should be working 40 hours a week, she pushed back and couldn't get it. We ultimately found out that she was cheating on us and working multiple jobs. Mm. And after my wife had explained everything that needed to be done and had spent, we were probably too lenient and way too understanding of this girl's failings because we hadn't really ever done this before. Mm-hmm. And once we kind of figured out that we'd been snookered, then my wife said, I will not ever do that again where I spend this much time with someone. Mm-hmm. So then at that point, we committed to putting everything into Suite Process. And as I just mentioned, this is the backbone of what we do. And the more granular that you can make things, the more step by step you can give someone directions, the better the result is going to be for sure.
Okay.
And I would tell you that I think that going back to the origin of your question, the reality is that we knew when we did this that we would be doing business in the United States and that we'd be asleep during the bulk of the day in the United States. And we knew that we were going to have some kind of a system in place. Mm-hmm. And yes, we had to fail first in hiring someone and just hoping that they would get it right.
Okay.
But ultimately we've put into place, some very good hiring criteria. We've been lucky. Mm-hmm. We pay very well. And the reality is that now we have a very, very tight set of procedures that, I share with people in forums and stuff like that and try to help people out with.
Great. I think people, sometimes when I tell people about this podcast and how far away you and I are, that we do this, people have a hard time understanding how that's possible. I think there's still a lot of people who don't understand how good the technology is today, that this type of virtual work is not as hard as people think it's going to be. Distance doesn't really matter anymore, does it?
No, we're not going out for a beer after this. That's
no,
for sure.
That's
because
bad,
it's morning where you're at. And it's late afternoon where I'm at. Right. So, look, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like it's amazing the amount of talent that you can get, mm-hmm. and it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
the experts that you can speak to, and once you commit to doing it, your eyes, your brain explodes. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's a lot. I think it's just a lot easier than people expect it to be.
Well, if you mean easier, you sitting in your den and me sitting in my den and us having a high level conversation, I can roll out of my my bedroom. It's incredibly efficient. Mm-hmm. It's certainly, I have no distractions, except the noise you ever hear, something going on here in the house.
Right.
No distractions. When I talk to people, they know, I don't have one of those red lights outside blinking saying that we're recording, but, by and large, it's it's an amazing, amazing ability that we have today.
Right. You mentioned that first lesson of struggle, I guess, with, you know, maybe did you hire or not hire the right person? And you mentioned a little bit earlier too, that you kind of pay a little bit more for quality in terms of talent and character.
Yes.
Is there any advice you could share for people? How do you hire the right person? What do you look for?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think after the first experience, we kind of put on our thinking caps and we kind of said, you know, what is it that we have that other people might want, right? Mm-hmm. And so we literally asked. So first thing we did, and we had used Upwork. And we have used onlinejobs.ph, and we have employees from both of those. And this is just for virtual assistants for customer service. This is not for what I would call outsourced experts, okay? So this is for the employee, well, people that I consider to be our employees. These are full-time employees for us. They just happen to be not in the room next door or, you know, on the factory floor. We don't have a factory. Mm-hmm. We decided to focus on what we could try to figure out to be the top tier of people. And funny enough, for customer service people in the Philippines, there's a huge number of outsourced customer service people there. And, you know, so we looked at people that had experience working for, you know, JP Morgan, American Express, any of the big name American company. And we figured if they had any prolonged period of time with those folks, that they probably came well trained. And that came with an expectation of compensation. When we asked them what it was about us that was attractive to them, the first original answer was, well, you know, I have an hour commute each day, and, you know, to the office or more in some cases. And it comes at a time of the day in the Philippines, which is, you know, at night. And if I could find the right situation, you know, it'd be great for me to stay here because if need be, you know, I'm close to my family and it'd be more productive for me. The thing that we found out after that, where we got the praise, going back to just our last nugget of conversation, was unbeknownst to us, the AT&Ts and the JP Morgan Chases and the, you know, all these guys, all of their processes and procedures are in PDFs. And, you know, we do video with screen share. So if this is what you're trying to do, just watch the clicks on the mouse, and it's fast, and it's with my wife narrating it. And she narrates it, you know, sometimes when, you know, I'm, you know, in the room reading, you know, in our bedroom where her desk is. And so, you know, painstakingly, she does that. We use software called Asana, which is team and project management software. And everything is there. The Asana board has multiple sections to cover everything from, you know, shipping logistics to refunds to any interactions on things. You know, we have what we call platinum orders, which are really big orders where we're trying to provide a higher level of service to people. And everything's there for someone, you know, one of our people to see. And lo and behold, us, we didn't know that that was a big differentiator where people said, you know, you guys make it easy. You know, you make me better. I don't have to read a PDF. I can actually watch a video and in 90 seconds, I've remembered it. Thank you.
Okay.
So I would say look for people where, you know, look, we were committed to paying well. We're not trying to pay people $2 or $3 an hour. That doesn't work. Okay. You know, I think that can work. You can find someone who doesn't have the kind of experience that we have, and you can train them if you're up during those hours. Okay.
Okay.
And I think, you know, that's a wonderful, and I know people that are doing that, and they're helping people that have no experience. You know, they, you know, the old conundrum is, how do you get the job? You know, well, it's by having good experience, but you don't get the good experience unless you have the job. So I know people that are doing that, and they're helping people make them better. And we have a more junior assistant with someone who is a partner, but he's an outsource expert, spends the bulk of his time with us, and he is training someone. And my thing with him is, you know, I want him to take another person and train another one, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, because I want him to keep training people, you know, because he's great. He's great at it.
Okay.
So
great.
But he's in Mexico too.
So is he really?
Yeah. So, yeah. You know,
wow.
So, you know, yeah. So we will chat over Slack or, which is another piece of software that we use or through, the comments made on projects in Asana. And then there's another piece of software. He's, someone who uses a software called Loom where he records commentary, and suggestions of things for us to think about, and me to think about, particularly. Sometimes these things are, you know, 15 or 20 minutes long.
Okay.
And it's much easier for him to record that than it is for him to write an email or something like that, which would take forever.
Okay.
So
great.
Yeah, we're doing all that stuff.
Okay. Final question here. You mentioned Upwork. Are there any other places that you recommend people look for virtual help?
Yeah, I think I mentioned Upwork, and then for the customer service folks in the Philippines, there's a service called onlinejobs.ph. You will get inundated with people from onlinejobs.ph. In addition to Upwork, freelancer.com for expert help. Those have been our go-to places so far. And then, you know, for expert help, word of mouth has also been, you know, something we've used. So, okay. You know, expert help. But I think for raw talented people, kind of customer service stuff, it's been those two sources. They're okay. Great.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have today. Thank you so much, Ian. That was really helpful.
Thank you, Ryan. It's a pleasure. As always, it was a pleasure. Look forward to speaking to you again.
Okay. See you soon. All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Ian Bond of Professional Website Investors. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to scale your business by outsourcing work to virtual employees. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes at professionalwebsiteinvestors.com. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Professional Website Investors Podcast.